We're going to pick this up in the latter part of the book of Acts. We're dealing with a message of the right hand of God as they understood it. The Bible says when he appeared to them, he opened their understanding. The very first message that Peter preached was on the right hand of God. Paul's message in Acts 13 was on the right hand of God. And all their message was on the resurrection. They had a revelation of the resurrection. They had a revelation of the right hand of God. So we're going to pick this up when Paul comes back into Jerusalem. He gets prophesied. He says, there's going to be a lot of persecution. And he goes, look, I'm ready to die for the Lord. I'm coming in. We're going to look at how this opens up. And the message they were carrying, you're going to see it threaded throughout the book of Acts. So today we're going to begin in Acts 22. And this is where Paul came into the temple and some of the Jews from Asia spotted him and they drug him out of the temple. This is in 21. I'm just setting up 22. They drug him out of the temple and they began beating him. And Captain Caius, he was the captain of the temple. He came upon him. He apprehended Paul, brought him into the chambers, and he thought he was actually an Egyptian causing trouble. He says, who are you? He said, look, I am a Jew. I was born a Jew. He goes, let me speak to the people and give my defense to them. And so this is where he's going to pick up this defense in chapter 22 here. I want you to notice what his message was, what all the stir and the commotion, city after city after city. It's going to happen again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Acts 22 verse 1. He says, men and brethren and fathers, hear you my defense. So he's going to give his defense of why he's returned to Jerusalem. And I'll pick that up in verse 6. And it came to pass as I made my journey, I was coming to Damascus. Now, Paul's going to give his defense. Now, notice what he's bearing witness to. Notice what the apostles were constantly bearing witness to in the book of Acts. The resurrection and the right hand of God. That was their message. And that's what the Holy Spirit was accompanying, their message and their eyewitness. And we're going to see that thread as we continue through there. And he's talking about on the road to Damascus, in verse 8, he said, I answered, who art thou, O Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light. This was Paul's very first encounter with the Lord. He saw him. It blinded him for 3 days. The light of his glory was so powerful. And he's given witness now. He's returning because we found out how the Holy Ghost went after Paul. You know, if the Holy Ghost could just jump on somebody like that, he would have jumped on the whole world. There was something that happened that gave him the authority to go after Paul, and it was the stoning of Stephen. When Stephen was stoned, he said, forgive them. He saw the heavens open, and he looked at the Lord at the right hand of God. He saw him there, and they ran upon him and stoned him, and they took those clothes, the blood of that martyr, and Paul said he kept those clothes upon him. He kept them. In fact, it's in this chapter, and those clothes were crying out the blood of that first martyr of the church, and the Holy Ghost went after Paul. Hallelujah. Apprehended him and says, Paul, you're going to finish the testimony of Stephen. You're going to go back and you're going to testify to the very people that stoned him. You're going to bring my testimony of the resurrection. I have appeared unto you for this purpose. That's why he's back up in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Okay, booyah. Verse 9, and they that were with me saw indeed that light and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do? And the Lord said, verse 10, arise and go to Damascus. And there shall be told thee of the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, he's given testimony to people that are trying to kill him right now. He's telling them what he saw. Now notice what Ananias said in verse 12. And what Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, brother Saul, receive thy sight. And that same hour I looked upon him. Now notice what he says here. This is powerful. The God of our fathers have chosen thee that you shouldest know his will and see, notice that, see that just one. Paul was an eyewitness of the resurrection. Peter was an eyewitness of the resurrection. Every single apostle in the New Testament were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. And they bore testimony to that. Notice what the Holy Ghost taught Paul. Read in Ephesians and Colossians. All the revelation. Right hand of God. Right hand of God. Right hand of God. Say right hand of God. Hallelujah. He said that thou should notice, Will, and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen. And now notice verse 17, and it came to pass, Paul saying, when I was in the temple. Notice everything he's saying. First he gives his revelation when Christ appeared to him, because that's what they were preaching, the resurrection and the right hand of God. That's what the Holy Spirit was accompanying their witness. How much more is he going to accompany our witness in the last days? Especially since we're 2,000 years later saying the same Jesus that rose from the dead, but it's not just the resurrection, it's the revelation of the right hand of God. What happened when he ascended into the right hand of God, when he received the inheritance from the Father, became the appointed heir of the Father, received a government, received the nations. He was the king set upon the holy hill of Zion. He received the nations. He is the reigning heir of the Father. And all things by him consist, and of the Father's full. It pleased the Father that in him all the fullness would dwell. And we have been raised together. We have been made to sit together. We've been granted access, say access, into this grace, into this inheritance. You can't access something you can't see, and you can't access something you don't know. You can't just go blindly into the right hand of God. Well, I'm just here for something. You got to know what's in there. It's the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path that gives us access to that which is inaccessible. It was inaccessible. Now we've got access. Everyone say, Father, clothe me in inheritance. Clothe me in fullness. Clothe me in glory. Clothe me in power. Clothe me in wisdom. Clothe me in blessing. Clothe me in fullness. Amen. So he's giving this testimony. Notice what he says to him again in verse 17. And it came to pass when I come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple. Now these are the ones that just drug him out of the temple. And they drug him out and they beat him. And now he talked to the captain and said, let me go talk to him. Watch what he says. He says to him, he goes, even while I was praying in your temple. Because you're going to find out the big problem they had. They didn't care that he knew the law. They didn't care that he walked in religion. They didn't care how much he served God in the dutiful religion. But I tell you, when he starts bearing witness of the resurrection, they were upset. Because he said, I'm an eyewitness. I have seen him. Hallelujah. Verse, and it came to pass when I come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple that you just drug me out of, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying to me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Sure enough, they didn't. You can imagine that made them real happy. They were beating him until the captain came upon him. You're going to find out he had assigned 170 soldiers to him. Or it depends on how you read it. It could be 270. We'll get there in a minute. You're so dangerous that 270 people have to be assigned to protect you. You're so powerful in the spirit, 270 has to protect you. They said 100 spearmen and 70 men on the horses. Does anybody have that problem yet? Boy, he had something on him. Made him quite dangerous. Verse 22, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then they lifted up their voices. Now, this is the beginning of a whole train that goes from chapter 22, 23, 24, 25, and into 26. It's a commotion and a stir that does not stop. And said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It's not fit that he should live. And they cried out and cast their clothes and threw the dust in the air. And the captain said he was going to scourge him. You find out if this guy was telling the truth or not. And Paul said, is it lawful to scourge a Roman? And when he found out, it shook him up. This is when he assigned these soldiers to him to send him. Calls the chief priest in. He's going to find out what they have to say about it. Well, that was a good idea. You look at chapter 22, verse 30. And on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded, look at this, the chief priest, all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before him. There is going to be power of the resurrection again, where it's going to bring the cities out, and God's going to bear the testimony again, and the Holy Ghost is going to bear his testimony. They're going to come out again, because it's the power that's going to shake it up. It is the glory and the power that brought the whole city out. No advertisement, no Hollywood Avenue marketing scheme. Holy Ghost brought them all out. Because those were the ones that ordered the stoning. Paul was the one consenting unto Stephen's death. Now Paul's right back there and said, look, I have seen the one that we stoned Stephen for. When the heavens opened up and he said, I saw the Lord sitting at the right hand of God. He goes, I've seen him too. And the chief priests are going to come in there and he's going to give them testimony of it. Verse 1, Acts 23. Now, you have the chief priests, you have all the leaders, you have all the city, all the religious system gathered out. Just the very thing the Holy Ghost wanted to do, bear the testimony. And it's going to happen in chapter 23. So verse 1, and Paul earnestly beholding the council. Paul was probably delighting. In fact, he's got an audience now. Those are the ones that gave Paul the letters to persecute the church. Now they're right in front of him, and he's going to tell them, the one you're persecuting, I've seen him. I bear witness of his ascension into the right hand. Paul earnestly beholding the council said, men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. He begins to speak of his upbringing. Now I'm going to pick it up in verse 6 for the sake of time. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees, oh, sad that you can't see. Because they didn't believe there was a resurrection. He knew exactly what to say. Pharisees believed you did, and Sadducees were so sad they could not see, and they didn't believe it. Paul, this boy, he knew. He threw it out there. He knew exactly what he was doing. In verse 6, and Paul perceived the one of the Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out to the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee. I want you to notice his words. Pay very close attention to what he's going to say to him. He's got his audience. The Holy Ghost orchestrated it. I'm quite certain the power of God shows up again. There'll be persecution. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter because you live in a place of glory. As we're learning to escape, in me there is peace. In the world there's tribulation. I've overcome it. In me is a place, my friend. In me is a place. In me there's peace. It's a jurisdiction that's not of this world. But you're still here. It's kind of like when Jesus stood before Nicodemus. He goes, no man is descended from heaven except the Son of Man that is ascended to heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven, while he's talking to you right now. How's that? You can imagine that just calls Nicodemus' head to spin around. He was still trying to get over the born again part. And Jesus said, by the way, I'm standing in heaven while I'm talking to you. So you've been given access to heavenly places because it's all the kingdom of God is within you. It's all Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a pretty big place. You can walk around 50 years and not fully understand that if you don't give attention to it. Amen? You got to give attention. See, all this realm is brought to light by the Word of God. The Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The Word opens up the realm of the invisible and grants you access to it. In Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. I can tell you, if you're in Him, the peace that passeth all understanding will override the world system that's trying to torment you, that's trying to bring unrest into your life, they're trying to bring depression, discouragement, fear, and turmoil. If you're fully into Him, that stuff don't go through the door. That's Texas slang right there. That stuff don't go through the door. Amen. It doesn't make it. I just tell you right now, there's peace that's unreal. After 3 years, I've not ever experienced anything what I'm experiencing right now. The level of God's peace, and it completely washes the world system completely out. The enemy can be hounding you right here. You step into the secret place. You step into the abiding place, and that level of peace will override. That's why he said, be of good cheer. I've already overcome all that. You just got to get into where he is. It's all about being where he is. Where I am, there shall my servant be also. Amen. Chapter 23, verse 6. He cried out in the couch, men and brethren, I am a son of Pharisee. Now notice what his issue was, their issue. And for the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called into question today. That is what your issue is. You don't care about my religion. You don't care how many years I've served God. You don't care how well I kept the law. But now that I bear witness of his resurrection, that's why I'm in question today. You see, there's an accompaniment of the Holy Ghost. He's going to have to accompany his apostles, his apostolic church again. When that power comes on the display with your witness, an apostolic eyewitness, because I believe the eyewitness is returning to the church. You're going to see power release because the Holy Ghost is going to accompany. Because we are eyewitnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, because he's bringing his own testimony. He's an eyewitness. He's been sent out of the right hand of God, and he'll bear witness to the Lord's ascension, and him is the only heir of the Father. There is no other heir. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the multitude was divided, and the Sadducees said, there is no resurrection. Wrong. They began to squabble, and I'm telling you, the captain had to pull Paul out. And that's when Paul said, I am a Roman. Now go to verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them. What kind of power is in that message when you have the accompaniment power of the Holy Ghost? What kind of power is going to be in it when God restores the eyewitness to the church, which every apostle in the New Testament had? 1 Corinthians 15, the scene of all the apostles. They were going to pull him in pieces. In verse 11, the night falling, the Lord stood by him. Encounter after encounter. Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness at Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together, bound themselves under a curse. I don't ever want to have this problem. There were 40 of them said, we will not either eat or drink until this man dies. 40 men bound by a curse. And they got with the captain, the chief priest, and went to him and said, tell Paul you want to come see him. Tell him you want to hear more of him, and we'll lie in wait. And when he comes out, we'll take him. 40 men bound with a curse. And Paul's sister's son heard it. And went and told Paul, and Paul said, go tell the centurion. And the centurion hears this. Notice the stir. Devils are going to get stirred up. Holy Ghost is going to get stirred up. This is going to be a Holy Ghost chaos again. There's going to be miracles, signs, wonders, harvest, glory, power, a bunch of devils. They're either going to leave or they're going to get stirred up, one or the other. He's going to do it again. Apostolic witness will come upon America, and will come upon this world again. And the Holy Ghost will come upon. He's sent out of the right hand, because God's going to start sending again, commissioning right out of the right hand of God. Speak on the behalf of this place. They wanted to kill him. Verse 22, and the chief captain, Paul's sister's son came and told him. He let the young man depart and charged him, "See that you tell no man what you've heard of these things." All this is around the resurrection. He's called into question of the resurrection. Look at verse 23. And he called unto him two centurions. Now a centurion has 100 soldiers each. Make ready 200 soldiers. 200 soldiers. Need 200 soldiers just for one man? And 70 horsemen. Spearmen, 200. So there's either 270 or 470. I don't know if the 200 soldiers were the 200 spearmen, or there's 470 or 270. That's still a lot of people. Around one person. And they sent them to Caesarea, to Felix. The show's just getting started. Can you imagine Felix? He's the governor. Appointed by Rome to govern. And two centurions, they're supposed to be guarding the whole city, have to go to one man. And they're sent with Paul. Could you imagine them coming in Caesarea? Felix going, "What is going on? Who is this man? What is up with him?" Felix didn't know what was going on. Holy Ghost knows what's going on. And he said, "I'm going to wait till your accusers come." So all them accusers, chief priests, leaders, and everybody else that wanted to come, they go to Jerusalem to Caesarea because they're following along and they're sending false witnesses. "We're going to tear him up. If we couldn't get him in Jerusalem, we're going to get him in Caesarea." Probably those 40 men that wanted to kill him, they went too. All take out one man's witness at the right hand of God in the resurrection. Acts 24, verse 1. We're moving right along here. After 5 days, Ananias, high priest, descended with the elders. Boy, they have another council now. They have another audience. And with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul, and he began to make accusation. Verse 5, "We found this man a pestilent fellow." Yeah, you got that right. Upsetting the apple cart. He goes, "Your chief captain, Lysias, took him from us. You should have let us judge him there. We took him. Now we're here with you." Now notice what he's about to say. Verse 10, "Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, 'For as much as I know that thou hast been many years a judge of this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself.'" Now he's going to give witness to the governor and a brand new audience and the former audience. It just keeps getting bigger. Verse 13, "Neither can they prove the things whereof they accuse me of, but this I confess to thee, Felix, after the way which they call heresy," notice the words, notice the testimony, "so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God." Now get this. Every witness they gave was the resurrection, which they themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And that's why I'm in question here. That's why these 270 men have marched me into Caesarea. That's why that train of the high priest and all his leaders are here. That's why your whole city's out to hear me. I bear witness, eyewitness of his resurrection. And he goes on to say this. He rehearses the matters. Now look at verse 20. Or else let the same here say, if they have been found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Now look at verse 21. I like it. Except it be for this one voice. Say, except it be for one voice. God only needs one voice. He would prefer 1,000. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them teaching. He says, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question by you this day. That's why I'm here. That's why they're here. That's why you're here. Because of the resurrection of the dead, I bear witness. Just like Peter did in the first message of the book of Acts. He goes, we are eyewitnesses of his resurrection and went into the revelation of the right hand of God fulfilled in Psalms. Thou wilt show unto me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasure forevermore. Even Matthias, the 13th apostle that took Judas's place. Did you know what his qualification was? Do you know what it was? In Acts chapter 1. You know what his qualification was? He goes, choose you out men that have been with us. And they call Matthias and Justus. And he says, it must be needful that one must bear witness of his resurrection. And they have to have been with us from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us. That was his qualification, to bear witness of the resurrection and the right hand of God, where he was resurrected into. Amen. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I'm called into question this day. Who? After certain days, notice this. Felix, man, it did something to him. Him and his wife begin to visit Paul over and over again. They begin to commune with him. He stayed with them for 2 years. In fact, when he would share with them, he said, Felix said he trembled. 2 years had passed, and then another would take his place, Festus. Festus takes his place, and it starts all over again. Same people want to kill him. 2 years later, they still want to kill him. You think it died down after 2 years. It was still very much alive. God was going to give testimony to all of it. Then he's going to send him to Rome and give testimony to Caesar. The power of that testimony. Everybody in here believes he raised from the dead. Power of it is where you're sent from when you say it. The power of it is who's standing with you. I'm going to close with this. Go to Acts 2:33. I had a gentleman come into church last week, and he said that, he goes, well, I'm oneness. I said, well, God bless you. Oneness believes that there's really not three different. There's not a Father, a Son, a Holy Ghost. But he said, I'm half oneness. He goes, I actually believe there's a Father and a Son, but Holy Spirit. They don't believe they're three separate entities. They believe they're all one with just three different personalities. And it's a pretty big doctrine. So I asked him a question. Well, who sent him then? Who sent the Holy Spirit? I said, well, who sent him then? Who sent the Holy Ghost? Did the Father send him or the Son send him? He goes, well, they both sent him. I said, yeah, but in John, Jesus said the Father will send him. And then in John, Jesus said, I'll send him. Those are two different people sending him. How can it be the same person if they're both sending? And so I said, well, let me show you this. Acts 2:33. And we'll close with this, because this was the first message to the early church. I'm sure the Holy Ghost had something to do with what was said. Speaking of the resurrection of Christ. Verse 30, therefore being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Speaking of David, raising up Christ. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. Now listen to this very carefully. That his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. So in other words, he was raised from the dead. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all, you can write, eyewitnesses. 1 Corinthians 15 says, he showed himself to 500 people at one time. Look at this, verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, has shed forth what you see now here. Did you get that? Jesus ascended into the right hand of God. He receives the inheritance of the Father. He receives the government. He ascended on high, received gifts for men. He receives the nations as an inheritance. He receives the fullness. He received, worthy is the Lamb to receive what? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. He had all seven of those before he ever came here. He received those for you and I. He received them at the right hand of God. And then he said, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. The Father sends the Holy Ghost out of himself into the right hand of God. And then Jesus takes his inheritance, because he says in John, he, the Holy Ghost, will receive which is mine. All things the Father has are mine, but he's going to receive which is mine, and then he's going to show it to you. You know when that happened? In the right hand of God. He said, having received of the Father sent the Holy Ghost to the Lord Jesus in the right hand of God. The Lord Jesus handed the Holy Spirit the inheritance of all things, and then he, the Lord, sends the Holy Spirit. Because the Father will send him, the Father sent him to me. He goes, and I'm going to send him to you. And he's going to have everything that I inherited on your behalf. That's who's living up inside you. He's got a lot more than a shimmy shoe in there. I'm telling you right now. There is an inheritance. There is a fullness. And the more you can see, the more you know he's carrying, the more that's going to be made available to you. You are a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And the Holy Spirit was sent to distribute that. He will disclose, declare, and transmit all this to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, I'll send him to you. And he's going to transmit all this. He'll show you. He'll transmit it. He's going to do it again. He was sent out of the right hand of God. He is an eyewitness. His witness is going to be different than yours. Our witness is the words of our mouth. His is signs, miracles, wonders, demonstration, apostolic testimony to the world. He is the convincer and the convictor. We need a little more than our own words. It was supposed to be a dual witness, not just one witness. His accompanying witness. Isn't that good? Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.